Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Jackson on the field. He's got Drew. 35, 30.
One get no punch. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Good afternoon, everybody. I am John Schmelk. He is Lance Meadow. Giants coming off their bye week. Hope everyone had a fantastic weekend off from Giants football. You can watch a little other NFL stuff. You can take some time with the family, whatever. Now we're re-energized, ready to go as the Giants get ready to take on the Indianapolis Colts on Monday Night Football in 8 days. And Lance, want to give some information about practice first. The team was out there working today. Jeff Schwartz was out there working with the team. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie was out there working with the team. But three players that I know Giant fans are keeping an eye on were not out there. There was no John Beeson. There was no Rashad Jennings. And the third guy is slipping my mind right
Colin
now.
Colin Jenkins.
And no Colin Jenkins as well, injured his knee in that game before the bye against the Dallas Cowboys. So that's the injury situation and something to keep an eye on over the course of the week.
Nothing to get alarmed about with respect to Rashad Jennings. I know a lot of people anticipated that he would return to practice by this Monday and be ready to go versus the Colts. We'll have to see what happens the rest of the week. Tom Coughlin will be addressing the media this hour, so as soon as we get any word on that, we'll let you know. In terms of could he play on Monday, I still think it's opportunity for him to get back out on the field, but an MCL strain is the type of injury that could be forcing you to miss multiple weeks, even past 2 weeks. You look at Ryan Matthews of the San Diego Chargers, he's been out for well over 4 weeks due to that same injury.
No doubt about it. So something to keep an eye on. Obviously, Rashad Jennings, a very important player to get back for the Giants as they get ready to take on the Indianapolis Colts. And that brings us to what I want to talk about today, folks. And the Twitter question I put out there for you is call in. Send us tweets at hashtag GiantsChat or 201-939-4513 if you want to call us and tell us why you think the Giants can make a playoff run. And look, I understand there are reasons to maybe be a little pessimistic. The Giants are 3-4. They have four very difficult games coming up. They're playing the Colts, two Seattle, and then home against the Niners and the Cowboys, four of the better teams in the NFL and in the NFC. But a couple things you have to keep an eye on here as you move forward with the New York football Giants. If you watched football this weekend, you saw how the NFL can become a week-to-week league, and anything can happen any given week. I mean, who would have thought that the Indianapolis Colts, a week after giving up less than 200 yards against the Cincinnati Bengals and shutting them out, would give up 500 yards passing to Ben Roethlisberger, six touchdowns, and a 50 spot to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who had gotten, by the way, blown out by the Cleveland Browns, who barely beat the Oakland Raiders 2 weeks ago. All right? So things can happen in this league that are very, very strange. The Bengals, who I mentioned, got shut out last week when they took on the Colts. They go out there, and they beat the Baltimore Ravens. The Packers play a Saints team that has struggled mightily this year. They get blown up by New Orleans while Green Bay had been playing well. The Seahawks at home, that was in Carolina, but going up against a Panther team whose defense has struggled at times this year and really has been terrible the last 2 weeks, needs a late touchdown to beat Carolina. Atlanta has a 21-0 lead against the Lions. Atlanta's been awful this year. The Lions have been great. How do they get a 21-0 lead? Well, then they blow the 21-0 lead. So just so many strange things happen in this league, Lance. So I want to warn Giant fans, and while I know you lose two straight in the division, I get it. You have injuries, I get it. Stranger things have happened in this league than the Giants maybe winning two out of the next four here and trying to make some type of playoff run.
Well, there's a lot of parity in the league, John. We talk about it every single season, and you just laid out numerous examples where it's been back and forth. You've seen teams dominate 1 week, and then you've seen teams fall apart the other week. I still think it's not the greatest time to be getting the Indianapolis Colts, considering they're coming off a game in which they surrendered 522 yards and six touchdowns to the opposing quarterback. However, with that being said, this Giants offense has shown positives over the last few weeks. You wonder, though, how the offensive line is going to come out of the bye. Will Jeff Schwartz be back on the field? Will they move some bodies around? I mean, that's been a big storyline heading into the bye week. Is Weston Richburg going to keep his spot? Is John Jerry going to keep his spot? I'm sure those are conversations that happen during the course of the bye week. But when you look at these next four games, this is the statement opportunity for the Giants. Are they going to show us that they have an identity? Are they going to hang tight in the race? Or are they going to continue this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? The opportunity is staring them right in the face. You have the Colts, you have the Niners, you have the Seahawks, and you have the Dallas Cowboys, all teams in the postseason hunt.
And teams that are very beatable. The Colts just got lit up by a Pittsburgh team that's looked mediocre all year long. They can be beat. The Seahawks, I know it was on the road, but they've been extremely unimpressive the past few weeks. They got beat by Dallas in their building rather convincingly. They barely beat Carolina last week. They lose to the St. Louis Rams. I mean, these are not exactly, you know, Super Bowl caliber performances here by the Seahawks. This is not the team that came into this building here last year and won the Super Bowl. It's a different group of guys. The 49ers have been up and down this year, and you saw how close the Giants came to beating the Cowboys before the bye week. So, look, I get the chips are down, and maybe some fans are a little pessimistic, but with the way this league works, would it blow me out of this chair and make me fall down surprised if the Giants win three out of the next four? You can't be surprised by anything in this
league. Can we experiment with
that
right now? Would you like to experiment?
Well, I don't think I have enough room to fall out
well,
of the chair,
maybe
to be honest
talk
with
that,
you.
But anyway.
But my point, though, Lance, is that, look, it might be unlikely, but the way the league works now, nothing's impossible. And for the Giants to win three out of the next four, to me, it's not some type of thing where you look at it and you say, boy, there's absolutely no chance that could happen. There's a shot. If the Giants play good football, and you mentioned it, no Jekyll and Hyde here. You got to play good football. Now, if the Giants come out here and don't play their A game in one of the next 4 weeks, they're not just going to lose. They're going to get hammered. You're going to see what happened to them against the Eagles 2 weeks ago. But if they come out here, play their A game, they can run with any of these teams if the Giants play their best football. But that's on this team, that's on the coaches, that's on the players to bring their A game, something the Giants have not done on a consistent basis so far this year.
However, at the same time, as you just alluded to, John, their opponents have not been consistent other than the Dallas Cowboys. Let's be honest. Of the upcoming opponents, Dallas is the one team to me that's been fairly consistent over the last few games.
You know what? I would have said it's the Colts up until this past week.
Correct.
I thought maybe the Colts, besides the Broncos, might have been the second-best team in football up until that game yesterday, when all of a sudden you think, oh, well, you know what, maybe the Colts aren't very good either.
Well, here's the thing about the Colts, and this is something we talked about when the Giants were entering the Cowboys game right before the bye, John. Indy is number one in time of possession in the National Football League. Dallas is number two. So when we were talking and previewing about that Cowboys game, the Cowboys' defense has been good this season, not trying to take anything away from them. However, because the time of possession's been solid, they have covered up the Dallas defensive issues. I could say the same thing about the Colts. The Colts have been on the football field, their offense, for nearly half the game. So what they've done is they've kept the defense on the sideline, and the defensive numbers look respectable. Prior to this Steelers game, Indy was top 10 in defense overall. They were fourth against the pass, ninth against the run. Those are solid numbers, and they were tied for fourth in sacks per game. So, you know, those were players that were going out there and consistently making stops, but they were not in a position where their backs were against the wall because the Indy offense was shouldering the load. Now you saw against Pittsburgh, okay, Indy got into an offensive clinic. They couldn't cover up the defensive issues. So, therefore, you know, this team is a little bit up and down, and maybe the defense is not as impressive as it appeared to be during their winning streak, because the Colts started off 0-2, and then they went on that five-game winning streak, and now obviously they've struggled against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You look at the Seahawks, you look at the Niners, they've had their fair share of ups and downs due to injuries. Like I said, of the upcoming four opponents, I would crown Dallas as the most consistent team since their sluggish start. So the Giants, on paper, they have a golden opportunity in front of them. But, you know, while we talk about the inconsistencies of their opponents, the Giants also need to stare themselves and look at themselves in the mirror and start to figure out who they want to be on offense as well as defense.
Yeah, and the Colts' second highest scoring team in the league in terms of points per game. They're eighth in third down percentage, something the Giants struggled with against Dallas. They'll have another chance this week when they take take on the Indianapolis Colts. So everything to keep an eye on as the Giants get ready for the Colts. And, of course, we'll have Tom Coughlin talking at 12:30, not on this show, but we'll monitor it. And any news coming out of Tom Coughlin's post-practice press conference, we'll have that for you right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Let's go to the phones at 201-939-4513 and start out all the way on the West Coast and say hello to Mike in California. Mike, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
What's up, Mike?
Morning, Mike.
I'm calling to talk a little bit about, I think that the Giants can always make a run. We got Eli Manning. We got a great coaching staff, and that gives you the opportunity to do all kinds of things in the NFL. But you know, realistically, when we started this year with the kind of turnover we had, basically a young, almost rookie receiving core, new offensive squad, and the greatest turnover in the NFL, you know, it's the most difficult team sport that there is, the kind of coordination you need on a new offensive line. You know, I expected the kind of year we're having, kind of up and down and kind of mediocre. So, hey, look, I'm an optimist. I hope we can make the playoffs. But, you know, I'm going to throw Anita's, big monster word out there, rebuilding year. And to some extent, that's what I'm looking at this year. And, you know, I know that she kind of went on a rant about that last week. But to me, and I'd love to hear what you guys think about this, when you look at how the NFL works now, where you've got salary cap, you got free agency, you got these rookie contracts that give you 4 years at comparatively low cost, you know, I see a lot of teams that do just that. You know, you're rebuilding through the draft with these rookie contracts and trying to hit that small window when your veteran players are still under contract before you lose them to that big money payday that we're talking about right now with, you know, JPP at least. So, so optimistic, but yeah, kind of rebuilding year.
Yeah, you know what, Mike, and we talked about in the offseason that this might be a two-year process for the Giants as they try to make their way back. They had so many holes they had to fill, and it's just very difficult to refill that over the course of a season. Now, I'm not going to call it a rebuilding year because you still have Victor Cruz, you still have Eli Manning. You know, you bring in a big-money guy like Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie. Antrel Rolo is still here. So I think rebuild is maybe a little strong. I think retool maybe might be a better way to put it, and I think it could have been. There was a potential for it to be a two-year retooling process if everything didn't go right. And look, everything hasn't gone right. When you're talking about the injuries, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, there's been some pitfalls this year. So, look, I think you can still have hope for this year, but I think you hope that they build up a little bit more heading into next season. But here's the thing, Mike, too. You got to keep in mind as you move forward here. This offseason, you have Prince going into his last year. You got Antrel Rolo, a free agent. You got Jason Pierre-Paul, a free agent. You got Cullen Jenkins, who's heading into his final year of his contract. So you have a lot more potential turnover this offseason when you get to it as opposed to what you had last year. Walter Thurman's on a one-year deal. He's going to be up again. So you got a lot of guys here that are going to be free agents, and the Giants get to make some decisions on. Stevie Brown, Quinton Demps, pretty much your entire safety core is going to be a free agent this offseason. So there are a lot of guys you're going to have to make decisions on heading into next season, and this team might look even more different come 2015.
I didn't realize that we had that many people for a contract renegotiation. So let's do it this year then, right?
Thanks for the call, Mike.
And what you just touched on, John, is the fact that, you know, it's hard to build continuity if you have two straight off seasons where there's that much turnover. Now, part of it was protection for the Giants because they gave a lot of players one-year deals who, you know, I'm sure they wanted to have a statement season and maybe get more money themselves.
Oh, I'm not saying it's by choice.
So they couldn't lock those guys up.
It was by necessity. And, you know, some guys, a guy like Antrel Rolo's on the wrong side of 30. Do you want to give him a big money extension before he gets to that last year? No, you want to let him play it out a little bit and see where he's at. I get that.
And speaking of contracts, breaking news here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. The Giants just announced that John Beeson is going to undergo season-ending foot surgery, so he is out for the year, and that means that now they will have to move on without him. And the reason I bring that up, John, is because they just re-signed John Beeson, and they gave him not a monstrous contract, but they locked him up for a good 3 years, and this is the type of risks that you take when you give contracts out to injury-prone players. And now the Giants in the second half of the season, they're going to have to go with Jameel McClain in the middle. middle, and you'll probably see a variety of different linebackers in the other spots. But Jaquan Williams is having a solid season. Mark Herzlick has seen plenty of time. And Spencer Paisiger, who's battling injuries, as well as Devon Kennard. But those four are going to have to rotate now on the outside, with McClain really pulling a great deal of weight in the middle. But John Beeson, just to rehash, is now officially out for the season.
And that means you're going to have a guy like Devon Kennard have an opportunity to step up. Jimmy McClain will have an opportunity to step up. I got to imagine starting on Monday night will probably be McClain, Kennard, and Jaquan Williams.
Yeah. It's a great opportunity for Devon Kennard, and piggybacking off of Mike, our last caller, who said he'd like them to get a head start in the quote-unquote retooling phase, which I think is a better term. There is no such thing as rebuilding in the NFL, mainly because there's so much parity in this league.
Well, ask the Raiders about that.
Well, okay, the Raiders may be the exception.
And the Jaguars, for that matter.
You got me there, John. Okay, there's two teams that you could throw out there. However, for the most part, there are teams, though, that have won two games one season.
That's correct.
And they've bounced back with 10 wins the next season.
Look at the Chiefs and Eagles last season are a perfect example.
And that's why I don't like to throw out rebuilding. And it's not to make it nice and rosy for the New York Giants and the organization, but the truth is there's been an awful lot of turnarounds in the blink of an eye over one season. So retooling is a better term. But Kennard is the type of player who I think the Giants are anticipating to build around moving forward. He's got that versatility. He has that athleticism, whether they can use him at one point down on the line, make him a linebacker. He contributes on special teams. Better he get the experience in the final nine games of the season as potentially an every down starter than wait for him to all of a sudden be groomed during the course of this offseason.
And again, the big news, John Beeson is out for the year. He had to undergo foot surgery on that foot big toe area, the same area injured in the preseason. Now, again, we don't have any more details than that. If the story comes down on Giants.com with some quotes, or if Tom Coughlin has something for us at 12:30 when he addresses the media. And by the way, Jerry Reese will address the media at 2:30 today. I'm sure he'll have more on it as well on the details of the injury. And you know, you don't want to go back and, you know, be 20/20 hindsight here, but you wonder now if Beeson would have had this surgery when he had the injury originally back in June, could he have come back around week 9 or week 10? Now, maybe he couldn't have. Maybe that surgery would have put him out for the entire season. I don't have the answer to that question. I'm thinking that based on the severity of that injury when they talked about it when it happened and he had to have surgery back in June, that might have forced him to miss the entire season anyway, which would have made sense for him to try to play through it to see if he could. But again, not able to, and he's now heading to IR and will be out for the rest of the season. Fans, we want to remind you that listeners are winning every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry! Get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, and first place takes home $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter Blue, that's B-L-U-E, to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires, bigger Lance Meadows. Enter Blue for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
It's nice of you to go off script, too.
Yeah, I like
I'm sure they're very appreciative of that.
Well, if I'm running a company, there's one person that I want to be the face of my company.
There
this
we
guy
go.
Right here.
How nice of you. How kind of you. Look at this. We're throwing out the compliments after the bye. Give it till tomorrow. Then we'll start to spice it up again.
You're already annoying me. It's not going to last that long. 201-939.
Let's see if the callers hopefully want to know.
4513. Let's go back to the phone to say what's up to Dennis up in Plattsburgh, New York. Dennis, what's going on?
Hi, John. Hi, Lance.
How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing fine. And you?
Doing well.
Okay. Couple of things. You were talking about, Lance, you were talking about Bromley, and I'm sorry, you were talking about Kennard.
Kennard, correct, yeah.
And how important it is to get him involved. Does the discussion apply as well to Bromley?
Yeah, I think it does now, too. And, we were talking to Robert Dunn last week when the assistant coaches talked to the media at the bye, and we asked him about Colin Jenkins' injury, and the first guy he brought up is Bromley, that Jay Bromley will have an opportunity now to step into that three technique, the same position he played in college, and have a chance to contribute. So I think that is something you can look forward to on Monday night.
Okay. Now, I want to answer your question, and that would be predicting the result. If the Giants are going to win, I have to ask you this question.
Yeah.
How have they been giving up these big plays on defense, the big run plays?
It's a great question.
I understand about how the big pass plays occurred, but the big run plays, how did it happen? And can they stop it? Can they plug those big those big openings and those big plays.
Well, if you look back at the Eagles game, a lot of it was missed tackling in terms of LeSean McCoy, who could have been taken down 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and then he weaves in and out of traffic. And there was some of that against the Cowboys,
with Murray,
too, where DeMarco Murray gets out to the edge, and the Giants are in position, and they just can't bring him down. So I don't want to say it's as simple as that, but if you do the naked eye test, I would say missed tackling has been a big contributing factor specifically to why they've had so many big running plays that they've surrendered.
Yeah, Dennis, if you would ask me why the Giants are giving up so many big passing plays, I probably would have had a harder time answering the question, but I'm with Lance. Stopping the run here, it's all about tackling, being disciplined in your lanes, but I think they've had opportunities to bring these guys down, and they just haven't gotten the job done. There's been way too many missed tackles, and that's something that's going to have to change here, because you got Ahmad Bradshaw coming to town next week, who's having a great year. He stayed healthy. I'm surprised we haven't had Mike Farmer tweeting us about that yet this week. He's been,
give him
you know,
time.
He wanted Bradshaw. He never wanted the Giants to let Bradshaw go to begin with, and that's another guy. You're going to have to gang tackle if you want to bring him down. You remember Ahmad Bradshaw with the Giants? He's a violent runner. He breaks one-on-one tackles. He breaks arm tackles. The Giants going to have to tackle like a team. And now they're missing their leader and one of their best run stoppers in John Beason. And Lance, we did talk about this offseason, that once Beason went out, we wondered how much that would affect the Giants' run defense. And I really do think it's made a difference. That defensive front, you know, I think Hankins has replaced Linval Joseph fine. You know, I think you did lose a little bit with Tuck, you know, at that one defensive end spot in terms of stopping the
run. JPP's been good against the run.
He's been fantastic against the run, but I really think Beason's loss has hurt them against the run too, Dennis, to be honest with you. He's a sideline-to-sideline guy. He's a better tackle than anybody else in that linebacking core, and I think having Beason not on the field has been part of their run defense problems as well.
Okay. Well, I think they're going to win. They're going to go all the way. And they're going to solve this big play problem. And, of course,
they better.
The offensive line is going to tighten up there, and Jeff Schwartz is going to come in. We don't know where or how, which side, but somehow he's going to end up replacing, you know, Jerry or
Richburg,
and we're going to see a better offensive line, and Eli is going to begin doing that magical thing that he does on a regular basis, coming from behind often, but certainly keeping the game close. The defense will keep the game close, and they'll do it again and again and again.
Well, Dennis,
thanks,
Dennis. Those are a lot of things you just listed. I mean, I love the optimism, but boy, did you give a laundry list there, Dennis.
Appreciate it, my friend.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Well, they'll need
if all
those
things
happen,
we're in great shape.
Absolutely.
We're in great shape.
I was going to say, he hit everything on the nose,
good.
John. The problem is that's a lot to ask for over the course of the next few games, but that's exactly what they need to do.
I think that was actually Paul DeTino calling
it. It may have been.
Right?
He may start to rub off on the phone callers during the bye. Paul's had some time. Who knows? Maybe he's made some private calls for all we know.
By the way, I want to go back. You guys had a big rebuilding conversation last Wednesday.
Well, let's clarify, because
yes,
Mike
please.
Did allude
yeah.
to it, and mm-hmm. Anita did not say that. What happened is she brought up an article, and I didn't read the article, so I'm only going by hearsay. I think it was on ESPN.com. Dan Graziano wrote an article about how the Giants are in a rebuilding phase for the next 2 years. So Anita brought it up, threw it out to the audience, and she disagreed with that sentiment, mm-hmm. as did I. I think retooling, as you threw out, John, is the correct term. And I read off a number of teams where we've seen the turnarounds. You countered with the Jaguars and the Raiders, which was right. But here's the thing. The Jaguars and the Raiders don't have a quarterback. The Giants do. That's why it's unfair to say the Giants are in rebuilding phase. The teams that are struggling, the Jets, the Raiders, the Jaguars, they have yet to find an answer under center.
Yep.
The Giants have an answer
that's
under
everything.
Center. They just need to all of a sudden fill out the rest of the roster to solve some of those other issues.
And, you know, here's how I look at it. And I know people hate when we bring these up, these comparisons, because it's an NFC East thing and they get sensitive to it. But I think what we've seen down in Dallas the last 2 or 3 years when they've gone 8-8 every year, they've missed the playoffs, they've been respectable, but they haven't been able to get over the hump. They've had Tony Romo there, a quarterback, keeping them afloat. But the talent around him, especially on the offensive line, on defense, hasn't been there. And they've struggled to be consistent and make the playoffs, right? And I think what you're seeing now is that what happened last year with Eli, no offensive line, couldn't succeed. This year, you're seeing the defense really struggle at times, and the Giants aren't able to win some of these games. And I think you're seeing the Giants rebuild some of that talent around Eli that has either gone old, retired, or left over the past 3 or 4 years. You know, remember when Dallas, they went the year the Giants beat them in the playoffs in 2007, they had an excellent team. They had a great offensive line. They still had Terrell Owens that year. Terry Glenn was their other receiver.
Patrick Crayden.
Yeah, I mean, they had all these guys. You know, they had Leonard Davis and Andre Girard, all those big guys on the offensive line. They all left. They all got old. Yeah. They all retired. Well, what happened? What's happened to the Giants since 2008? I mean, they had that one run in 2011, but even since then, OC's gone. Tuck's gone. All those big offensive linemen are gone that you tried to replace. Heck, this offensive line is now completely different than it was in 2011, except for Will Beatty. It's all new guys. It's all new guys. The linebacking core, except for Jaquan Williams, all new guys. You know, Prince barely played in 2011. That was his rookie year with the foot injury. The defensive backfield, besides Roll, who knows if he's going to be here next year. It's all new guys. The receivers, because Victor Cruz is out now, it's all new guys. I mean, the tight end position, all new guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a completely different team. This roster is completely turned over since that Super Bowl. And I think it's been a retooling around Eli, and you're going to have your bumps. I mean, besides right now, besides Cruz and Eli Manning, who are your franchise players on this team right now? Can you name one other guy that you consider a franchise player that's going to be here for the next 7 to 8 years that you know is going to be on this team?
Odell has the potential, but hey, it's only been a few games.
Played three games.
Yeah, you can't crown him yet.
Will
but
Beatty?
There's potential there. Oh, Will Beatty, I think it depends on how the contract plays out, how his health plays out. Who knows what they're going to do with him.
DRC, I guess, would be the next guy since he just signed a long-term contract.
But depending on his injuries, that's a question mark.
That's a retooling. I mean, this roster has been completely turned over since that last Super Bowl run. Completely.
Well, you brought up a good point in using the Cowboys as a parallel, John. It took them a number of years. They invested in a first-round pick after a first-round pick, and they finally built continuity, and they got back to what won them Super Bowls in the 90s. The Giants, you know, they lost these offensive linemen in piecemeal. It was Seibert. It was O'Hara. It was McKenzie. Yep. It wasn't as if 1 year they lost all five, and they said, all right, we've drafted now three first-round picks. We're going to bring him in. It was a year-by-year phase. Now you're getting to the point where there's a number of young guys, but, you know, they're still relying on veterans. John Jerry is not going to be a guy you can hang your hat on moving forward. You know, I don't think that's a guy you could bank on. Will Beatty, you know, you hope he recovers and continues to turn things around.
And he has been better this year.
He has been better, but outside of Pugh and Richburg, you know, Walton's even a veteran by trade.
Well, and frankly, do we know how good Justin Pugh is going to be? I mean, Justin Pugh had an okay rookie year. He's had some good moments and some bad moments this year. Maybe he is a long-term guard. I mean, I want to leave him at tackle this year and find out. I want to see. You know, I want to see if Weston Richburg, again, I'm not going to throw a rookie offensive lineman away because he struggles as a rookie. A lot of rookies do. But maybe he's the long-term solution to center, not at guard. So there are still a lot of questions you got to figure out here.
Well, the good question is, you were talking about franchise player. Who's the anchor of the offensive line? You know, that would be a fair question throughout. Who is the identity of the O-line right now for the New York Giants?
Right now, you'd have to say it's Will Beatty, right?
But is that a guy
maybe could replace him
long-term that is going to still be in that position of the anchor?
It's a great question, especially with that big contract he has. At one point, will his play and performance maybe not match that salary? And they ask for a pay cut. Then who knows what happens, et cetera,
et cetera. You restructure and you have to work the salary cap out.
And, I mean, you would think that JPP right now is going to be the anchor of that front seven for a while, but he had two down years before his bounce back year this year, and he's a free agent after the year.
So you can't hang your hat on that either. Yeah. I mean, that's a scary situation when you look at the two trenches and you say to yourself, I mean, who's going to be here to lead this group in years to come?
I mean, Hankins will probably be around for a while, but then again, we thought Linval Joseph would be too, and then he ended up walking away. So, look, and I realize you can probably have this conversation about every team. You know, you don't know who's going to be there for a long time. Everything changes in the NFL, salary cap, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I get that. But the point that we're just trying to make here is that the Giants have gone through a very serious transition the last 2 years. And we talked about it in the offseason. We talked about this being more than a one-year process. So it's not like we're bringing this up now as some kind of excuse. We talked about this back in February and March. When you have 20-odd free agents that you're going to have to replace, guess what? You're going to have some issues doing it. So just something to keep in mind going forward as the Giants try to rebuild around Eli and give their Super Bowl-quality quarterback a chance to win. 201-939-4513. Eli's in Indianapolis. Eli, what's going on?
Eli, are you there?
Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, there we go.
What's
Eli?
Happening,
what's
Eli?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, baby.
All right. Hold on, sorry, I'm good. Let me ask you guys a question. How many people do we have on IR right now?
On IR? Let's see. They just put Beeson on IR. Walter Thurman got put on IR. Tremaine McBride got put on IR.
Holiday was released, so he doesn't count, and Manningham was released.
David Wilson, I guess, technically is on IR, right? So that would be four.
I'll bring it up right now here. We'll be able to clarify. Let's see.
Christie retired, so he doesn't count.
Well,
I guess that's it. I think those four.
That is pretty much it.
Yeah.
So we have four?
Yeah.
Well, Cooper Taylor. Right. Did you throw
and,
Cooper,
yeah,
Taylor.
Cooper Taylor?
Cooper Taylor's
Sorry about
one.
That. Good
yeah.
call.
All right, well, man, that's some big names right there. The bad thing is most of them are like one-year contracts. But the thing is, I was going to bring up, so if it wasn't for these injuries, do you think that we would be a different team right now than we are right now?
I think they'd be a lot better. I mean, especially offensively, you put Rashad Jennings and Victor Cruz back into the lineup. Those are your two best skill position players besides your quarterback. I think that naturally makes a big difference. In terms of the defense, I mentioned John Beeson. I think the Giants are a better run-defending team specifically if he's healthy. Obviously, a healthy DRC, you're going to be a lot better in the secondary. But I do think, honestly, and injuries are a big part of this. I'm not saying they're not. I do think there are some fundamental flaws that you saw on this defense even when everyone was healthy, whether it was stopping the run consistently and getting off the field on third down in some spots, but most importantly, allowing those big plays that – goes beyond the injuries a little bit, and that's something this team has to figure out.
And that was evident as early as week one, yep, against the Detroit Lions, so that's a fair point. The other player I throw out is Walter Thurman, losing him in the slot, then losing, yeah, McBride. Now all of a sudden Perry Fuel doesn't have confidence in whoever's thrown out in that slot with Jayron Hosley, so that also changes how that group and how that unit comes together.
Yeah, I don't have as much confidence in him either from the preseason. But I think our biggest concerns right now is our defense, because as you've seen last week, us playing the Cowboys, and our offense looked pretty decent, but this is our defense couldn't get us off the run, had the big plays. So I think, as you guys said, I think we should know this will be like a retooling season, fixing our defense right now. This is our biggest thing right now. Our offense is okay. We probably need another wide receiver, offensive line, but right now we should be fixing our defense. And right now, I think the season, I don't want to say it's over, but from what it looks like, our schedule is ridiculously hard. The Colts, the San Francisco, Seattle, and whoever else play after. I think play the Dallas again afterwards.
Yep.
That's a really hard schedule when you think about it. And I just want to say, how do you think that we can get back on track and catch up with Philly and Dallas?
Eli, the only thing you can worry about if you're a Giant fan right now is getting the team to play well. They did not play well against Philly at all. They got blown out. That's something obviously you already know. And the defense didn't play well against Dallas. They couldn't get off the field. And, the offense, I thought, did a pretty decent job against them. So the only thing the Giants can worry about right now is they can't worry about opponents. They can't worry about schedule. They can't even worry about the standings. Go out there and show me your A game. Show me the Giants' A game. And you know what? Maybe against a team like the Colts or a team like the Seahawks, you play your A game, you still might lose. That's fine. That happens in the NFL every single week. But go out there, show me your A game, show me what you're capable of, and then if you could somehow split the next – here's how I look at it. You split the next four, right? That puts you at 5-6, all right? You're in decent shape to win your next five to try to get to the playoffs. The Jaguars and Titans are very winnable games. The Redskins is a very winnable game. The Rams are a winnable game. Then all of a sudden, you're in a potential winning your inning game against Philly the last game of the year. So if you can figure out a way to split these next two, you still have a very realistic chance to get into the playoffs if Eli can put this team on his back and make a run in December.
That would put you at 10 wins, though. Yep. There's no guarantee this year that 10 wins is even going to get you in. But
you have
at least
a
feel
shot.
Good.
You have
Correct.
A shot.
You feel good if you could split 2-2 over these next four. I would say, though, of those two wins, one of them should come against the Cowboys. You definitely want to split within those divisional opponents.
And well, you know what? And the game you can most afford to lose is the game against the Colts.
The next one,
If you're going to lose one of the four, lose the game against the Colts, take one out of two against the Seahawks or San Francisco, because as
you
talked about last week, that's a tiebreaker situation.
Wild card competition.
Exactly, and then you try to win that division game against Dallas, obviously. So if it comes down to division record to win the NFC East, you have that in your back pocket.
I agree. If I was the head coach, I would want to win every single game that we have on the schedule.
Right.
I just the first half of the season it's been just like just ridiculous. I'm just like, what is going on? But I agree with you saying I'm gonna let go because that's some other calls. But I agree that we should just play Giants football and win these last minute games that we have. You never know what the Cowboys and Philly can do. So.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for taking my call.
You got
Thanks,
it. Appreciate it, Eli.
Here's I think when you look back, Lance, the games that are going to stick in your craw if you're a Giants fan, I think the Lions legitimately whacked you in week one. That happens from time to time. The Lions, I think, were a better team, okay? Calvin Johnson was actually healthy in that game, which is a big difference. The Cardinal game is going to stick in your craw. That's a game you look back that you think you could have won, And then I think it's the Cowboy game that sticks in your craw a little bit. That's a game where, you know what, the Cowboys are probably the better team that day, but you had an opportunity in the fourth quarter. Your defense could have gotten off the field on third down here or there where you could have won that game. And to me, the Cardinal game more so, but those are the two games when you look back, you say, you know what, that's where this thing went off the tracks a little bit.
Well, especially one loss is in the division and another loss is within the NFC, and those are the killers, especially when you're dealing with tiebreakers. Now, if you look back, though, Arizona is on track to win the NFC West, so I don't know how much that's going to kill you in the big picture, but still, you want to continue to beat the teams that are in your conference because it's conference record.
Right.
That is a tiebreaker.
Well, it was a winnable game. You're in that game, and then you just couldn't bring it home. 201-939-4513. Back to the phone. Steve is in Washington, D.C. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
What's up, Stevie?
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, bud.
You got it, Steve.
Hope y'all enjoyed the couple of days off.
Meanwhile, we did.
We were suffering without you guys.
Steve, trust me. You guys had a much better weekend not hearing from us.
What's that?
You guys had a much better weekend not listening to the two of us. Trust me.
No, man. I needed my fix, man. I went through withdrawal, but
Well, let's make up for lost time, Steve. What you got?
Listen, guys. First of all, you know, I really wish I could be like, oh, what are we gonna do about beating? But fact of the matter is, what are we 2-0 without them?
No, they're actually 3-0 without John Beeson. Actually, all three of their wins, Steve, and I was going to bring this up earlier, were without John Beeson on the field. He even joked about that. They've lost every game in which Beeson's been on the
field. But in fairness, Steve, the games that he played in, he didn't play.
John. Cut it out. Right. Listen, come on.
Wait a minute. Who's running the show here today? Steve, who's running the show? Are we running the show or you're running the show?
Yeah, I know. I'm just messing. Come on, John. You really think he's the He's made the biggest difference, positive difference in my run stopping? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no. I think that's 100% true. I think not having Beeson on the field has hurt the run defense. Remember, too, in the games he did play in, it's not like he was out there the whole game either. Two games he left after the first half, and the other game, I think he actually got all the way through. But, look, I think, do you think that Jameel McClain is as good of a run stopper as John Beeson?
Listen, I think he's just as efficient, and I think he's a better tackler. He's a more sure tackler.
Oh, I don't know about
somebody,
that.
He brings them down.
Steve, this is the best way to classify it, and I think this is what John was alluding to. If you had a John Beeson at 100%, that's where your difference maker is. Having John Beeson on the field, even at 70%, is still not the same
Great
thing.
Point.
You need a fully healthy John Beeson, Steve. Then I think you would have seen a true difference maker.
Listen, I can't even argue that. The problem is, I don't know if we've ever seen a healthy John Beeson.
Well, last season you saw a fully healthy John Beeson. He was not that banged up when they acquired him.
Well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and credit most of the 90% of the defensive turnaround last year was because of Will Hill, the person we don't want to talk about. So I'm really not one of those people who are like, oh, I'm one of the people who thought we should have gave John Beeson all that money. He was a step up. But the fact of the matter is, we got a bunch of mediocre linebackers, and that's why we're hurting. We haven't seen a tackle behind or running play behind the line of scrimmage or even at the scrimmage yet. So, I mean, I want to see what the Kennard can do because I'm hoping he can do something because McClain is a good backup. He's serviceable, but I'm not a Jaquan Williams fan at all. So, you know, I mean, we're struggling linebacker, and that was going to be my next question. Where is Paysinger with his health? Because I want to see some Paysinger.
Well, you know what? Actually, I'm trying to see here because Tom Coughlin just spoke to the media and somebody did tweet something about Paysinger. Paysinger missed practice because of an illness. So that's not the hamstring, but he was sick. So, you would think in a couple days come Wednesday he should be back on the practice field, Steve.
Peyton Hillis, by the way, was also out due to an illness today as well.
Yeah, I'd rather see Paysinger, Kennard, and McClain myself, even though I know Jaquan Williams is going to stay on the field, so I'm not even going to bring up that. But, you know, here's the last thing I'm going to say, guys, is what I really would like to see is I would like to see us impose our will. I'm not happy with the offensive play calling at all, or the defensive play calling for that matter. I think we're playing far too conservative.
Steve, how about special teams? Before you continue your dissertation, how about special teams? You like that play calling? I just want to make sure you cover everything on this show.
Oh, you got jokes as well, man?
Hey, it's a Monday. I got to work on my new material, Steve. Come on. You know, you covered both. I wanted to make sure we include special teams.
Listen, we played decent on special teams last week, so it's a week by week with the special teams.
Look at that, pat on the back. I'm impressed. All right, continue.
Well, the thing is this. Now that you brought it up, I want to see Cox doing the kickoffs like I've been saying all year long. I don't like Cox is definitely capable of giving us a decent return on kickoff, so play the boy, please. But, you know, I just want to, you know, what I like to see, guys, I like to see a little bit more aggressive play, offensively and defensively, as opposed to playing not to lose. We need to impose our will. Our team lacks identity, and that's, and to me, that's been the biggest problem, man. It's time to start playing like we want to win. Stop worrying about we don't want to lose. So
thanks,
that's
Steve.
All I got today, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Great show. And
appreciate
it. Later on,
all right, Steve. Thanks so much.
All right, we got a bunch of nuggets here from Tom Coughlin's press conference. Lance, you keep an eye on it, too. I got a few here. Tom Coughlin, and this media brought this up as I brought up earlier in the show, he was asked, should linebacker John Beeson have had surgery back in June? Tom Coughlin's answer, why would you even want to go there? We got him on the field. That was his answer to that. I'm sure Jerry Reese will be asked that same question at his press conference at 2:30. Coughlin on Rashad Jennings, this is courtesy of Ralph Vacchiano. He's not ready to go. Everybody else tweeting that as well. Let's see. Again, Coughlin says that Beeson gave it all that he had, couldn't make it. You mentioned Hillis not going with the illness along with Paysinger.
Yeah.
Schwartz slowly working his way back, but he's not eligible to play until next week, right?
Monday. No, he can come back for the Colts game. He is eligible.
I thought he had to stay out the first eight games.
No, he's eligible for the Colts game.
Okay.
I'll clarify that, but I'm pretty sure he can shoot
out. I thought it was the first 8 weeks when he got put on the temporary IR designated return.
I'm going to confirm that right now, but I'm pretty sure. Eligible to come off short-term IR when the Giants practice next week, and that was last week. So he is, according to, let's see what I'm reading, he was eligible to come off when the Giants return to practice this week, getting ready for the Colts.
Well, I know that's eligible to return to practice. See, now that's interesting because I heard all the same things last week, but I looked up the rule, and I thought the rule was 8 weeks. I thought the temporary IR was 8 weeks, and the Giants have only played in seven games so far, so I thought it would have to be
eight games.
Well,
but keep this in mind. Is it eight games or 8 weeks?
You might be right about
that. If it's 8 weeks, then I think the bye week is included in that.
You might be right about
that. If it said 8 games, then he wouldn't be eligible.
I bet you that's exactly what it is. That's a great point. That's a great point. Jennings is day-to-day. Several players returned sick from the bye and was throwing up. That's nice.
Not good. That's why you keep him away from the team.
Rob Vacchiato, no word if New Jersey will place them in plastic tents. That was a Chris Christie Ebola joke for you guys that missed that news over the weekend. And that's pretty much all we got from practice. So the players are talking in the locker room now. We'll keep an eye on Twitter as people tweet out what else is going on. 201-939-4513. Zeke is in Virginia Beach. I talked to Zeke last week when you weren't here, I think, one day. But now Zeke gets to talk to his man, Lance Meadow. What's going on, Zeke?
Very nice. Zeke, what's happening?
What's going on, fellas? Just happy to be back from this bye week, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
All right. Where do I start at? Lance, John Snow, how y'all doing today?
Doing well, Zeke. Right. Good to hear from you, bud.
All right, let me get on key points. First, I would like to make a shout-out to Jerry Reese for doing one good thing, or actually two. You know, we always get on Jerry Reese for bringing in people that don't pan out, whatever. But how about him not re-signing Linval Joseph and thinking that Hankins will fill his spot, which Hankins has been playing beautifully.
It's worked out well.
And not bringing in the guy that we're going to see this week, Hakeem Nicks. I mean, Hakeem Nicks can't get open one-on-one coverage. He is struggling. You know, he's even losing his snap counts in Indiana. I know a lot of fans were just, oh, we should have brought back Hakeem Nicks, earlier when we were struggling in the preseason and first couple games. But, you know, Hakeem Nicks, he can't get open. It's just so weird. He's only 26 years old, you know, and time in his career supposedly can't get open on one-on-one coverage.
Yeah, and Zeke.
Very recent.
Zeke, by the way, I want to add one thing to that. Just FYI, and I looked at this today while I started my scouting on the Colts. Pro Football Focus has given Hakeem Nicks on the season a negative 8.5 grade as a wide receiver, which is one of the worst in football. So that's how bad he's been this year for the Colts.
And on top of that, you just alluded to this, Zeke, though, he also has barely been on the football field. I mean, he couldn't even get on when Reggie Wayne and Hilton were healthy.
Him not getting on the field might have something to do with the negative 8.5 grade.
And the fact that now Dante Moncrief is playing ahead of him on the depth chart.
And by the
too.
Way, he's been given a positive 3.3 grade by Pro Football Focus. So there you go. Go ahead, Zeke. Sorry for interrupting. Finish up.
No, you're right. I mean, you can see it from last year when we played the Chiefs, the Seahawks, almost every team. Hakeem Nicks could not get open.
Can't get separation.
It was really embarrassing.
Yep.
Okay, now, Lance and Anita Marks touched on this last Wednesday about who needs to step up after a bye. And I agree with Anita Marks. It has to be Ruben Randall. to me, Reuben Randle has been nothing less than the poor man's Anami Toomer, to be honest with you. If you go back to the Cowboys game, Odell Beckham was mostly on David Carr and really giving him some fits. And David Carr is better than the other guy that Reuben Randle was on, Moore, I think that was the name.
Yeah, yeah, Reuben Randle was matched up with Sterling Moore for most of the game. And frankly, that's a matchup he's got to not only win but dominate. And see, we talked about this last year. It's one thing to get the one-on-one coverage and win and catch an 11-yard pass here, a 12-yard pass here. You got to take that one-on-one coverage against the other team's third-best corner because, look, Moore's their third-best corner after Scandrick and after Brandon Carr. So if you're, quote-unquote, number one wide receiver right now, Reuben Randle's lined up on their number three cornerback the whole game, I don't want to see seven catches for 60-something yards. I want to see eight catches for 145 yards and a pair of touchdowns. You know, getting that 10-yard catch and falling down is not enough. I want to see some big plays out of you, too.
Yeah, I agree. I couldn't believe the lack of separation Reuben Randle had going against Moore. It was really ridiculous, and we got to kind of look more towards Odell Beckham's way. Unfortunately, he's just a rookie, but he's really our best wide receiver. The guy's explosive. The guy's going to be real. You can actually see it. And one more thing, our trenches, our trenches got to get together. This is how we make a run for the playoffs. Our O-line, first of all, has to improve tremendously over the next nine games. I mean, if we could keep Eli upright and run the ball for at least 120 yards a game, I think we could go, 7-2 over the next nine games, to be completely honest.
Well, Zeke, it's no coincidence they put up those numbers during their three-game winning streak, and they haven't been able to do that in their last two losses. So the run game goes hand-in-hand with setting the tone and being in line for a victory. I would wholeheartedly agree with you there.
Yeah, I think we could actually run the tables almost if our O-line comes to play. And our D-line, listen, JPP is an absolute monster. I already touched on Hankins. He's a beast. He's going to come into his own form. But Kiwi almost has to get the bench, man. I mean, this guy has been getting picked on week after week after week. Besides that one play against the Redskins, he hasn't done anything. Colvin Jenkins, same with him. I mean, he's been disappearing in and out of lineup as well, to be honest.
Well, Zeke, I will disagree with you on Colvin Jenkins. I think he's been pretty good this year. I wouldn't mind giving Robert Ayers some of Kiwi's snaps, to be honest with you. That's just me. The coaches see some differently, obviously. So, but, you know, I think Robert Ayers in his snaps has been more productive than Kiwanuka has been, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree. And I don't know about DeMonte Moore. If you can't stop the run, then you really are nothing more than a wild card joker at this point. You know, I'm not one of the fans that want to see DeMonte Moore because he went crazy on the preseason. If he can't stop the run like the coaches are saying, then he can't do us any good. You know, I mean, he could provide some pressure on third down, but he has to be consistent first down to third down type of player. So, hey, y'all have a good day. Enjoy the rest of your Monday, and hopefully we get a victory on next Monday.
All right, Zeke, appreciate the phone call. I also just wanted to clarify this short-term IR rule,
yeah,
John.
Yeah, please.
After week six, you're allowed to practice.
Right.
After week eight, you can return to play. So it has nothing to do with eight games.
It's eight
it
weeks.
Has to do with 8 weeks.
That's why I had the confusion.
Which is the midway point of the season. Correct.
See, this is what happens when I don't have a game during the week. I start, like, looking around and thinking. And when I start thinking, generally bad
Very
things
dangerous.
Start to happen.
Yes.
So that's pretty
well
much
documented
how it
on this program. Whatever it is. Anyway, moving along.
201-939-4513. Denise is all the way out in Washington State. That's the one on the West Coast. Denise, what's
Thanks
going
for
on,
clarifying
man? How are you?
We
no problem.
Sure.
Hi. Here on a visit, got a little bit of issues to say here.
Sure.
So I'm wondering if, please, what's the outcome on meeting up with the Seahawks? Because that's going to really mess me up.
What do you mean, what's the outcome on it?
What is the game going to be against the Seahawks or the Giants?
That game.
They're going to be here November 9th.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah, they'll be there on November 9th. The game's at 4:25 Eastern Time, 1:25 yep. Pacific. Are you going to make it out to the game?
I'm going to try. I really want to try. I'm suffering from a little bit of issues. That's why I'm staying here, medical issues.
Okay.
So I'm just praying upstairs to see what's going to happen with my team out here with the Seahawks.
Well, you know what? The Seahawks are vulnerable. You know, even at home this year, they haven't played great football, Denise. You know, you saw the Cowboys go in there and dominate them. And we've seen other teams go in there and, you know, maybe not beat them, but play well against them. The Chargers had their way. The Rams beat them recently. So I think the Seahawks are vulnerable. I wish the Giants would have gotten the Seahawks a couple weeks ago before they have a couple weeks to solve some of their problems. We'll see how they do this week. But I think the Giants have a shot to go in there and beat Seattle, but they have to play clean football. And that's the point I made before. The Giants have to play better. That's step one here to getting this thing right. If they play like they did against Seattle or even the way they played in the second half against Dallas, they're going to have trouble.
That's right. I have a lot of faith on the Giants for a long time. I mean, Super Bowl, Jesus. I mean, against the Patriots, how they didn't lose a single game. I mean, it's keeping me going. You know, that's what I think about when, even when they're not winning every single game, it's keeping me going forward because that's all I care about.
As well as the rest of the fan base. And Denise, so I wish you the best of the luck in fighting that illness. Hope all goes well, and thanks for the phone call.
Hopefully we'll see you at the game out in Seattle, Denise.
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
All right.
By the way, we want to remind people that listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000. Head to DraftKings.com now and enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE, B-L-U-E, for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. All right, final caller of the show. Let's go to the phone and say what's up to Drew down in Virginia. Drew, you got cleanup duty today, man. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Drew. How was your weekend, pal?
That was great, man. Hey, man, first and foremost, man, shout out to Zeke in Virginia Beach. I'm in Hampton.
Oh, very good.
Look at this. Wow. In the vicinity.
Oh, you know.
I would say probably more so than any other region of the country. We have more people that call into this show in that mid-Atlantic, Maryland, Virginia region than in Baltimore and D.C. than any other region. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yes, we have a big following. However, we're still wondering where Shakes is. So if you find Shakes, Drew, then let us know.
Dude,
I mean, listen, it's good to hear from Zeke. We got no issue with Zeke, but Shakes, I'm a little concerned about.
Shakes is in hiding. Shakes is, I haven't heard from him in 2.5 weeks. I fear for him. I wonder if he's okay. He's, you know, he's too busy trying to get this podcast
correct
up and running. I don't know.
He's big-timing us. That's exactly what he's doing.
I think that is what he's doing.
Well, you know, I mean, it's nice to be worrying about Shakes, but, you know, I don't want to take away from my time.
Oh, God.
Hey, you got to be selfish on this program. You got to learn from the best, and that's the two of us. So what do you got?
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. You know, that was a lot of good points brought up, man. I want to make a couple of points, man. First and foremost, you know, with regards to Steve saying our offense needs to get aggressive, I don't think they're not aggressive. I think the problem is, if you look at it, man, I think Eli's getting the protection he needs to. When he gets the protection and he gets the time, this offense, like as you noted, this offense was moving. The last couple of weeks, he really hadn't had the time, and the offensive line has been breaking down. And so, yeah, we've gone backwards. So, you know, the aggressiveness comes from the effectiveness of the offensive line. And I don't see this offensive line the last couple of games. They haven't been effective. And so, you know, when you got a quarterback back there running around for his life, you can't be aggressive, you know. So, I mean, same thing with the run game. You see, we don't have a running game. Why? Because the offensive line isn't doing what they need to do. So
that group sets the tone. Absolutely.
Right, so the aggressiveness comes from the efficiency of the offensive line, and the offensive line isn't aggressive. The other thing I want to say, man, is Beeson. You know, I was one who asked us to sign Beeson, but I got to be honest, man. Right now, man, I got to say that I feel like this is a bust, and I mean, honestly, and it's the God's honest truth. Had I got a chance to call in last week, I would have said this. Okay, it wouldn't have surprised me if Beeson was going to go on season-ending surgery. What happens? He goes on season-ending surgery. So, as of now, man, it looks like this was a bad pick. And again, I say this to say that, you know, had it come down between Tuck and Beeson, I'd have much preferred Tuck. You know, but you know, now hindsight is being what it is. And then my last point, man, this just has to go with our reach. You know, we do realize we need to go 7-2 to have any chance of the playoff. Okay.
Yeah, prior. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Right. We need to go 7-2, and we need to I'm going to say split. But we need to go at least 2-2 in the division, although 2-2 might not get it done. 3-1 would actually be a better road because we've already had two. No, we've had three games in the division.
Correct. They've
I'm
played
sorry.
Everybody on
yeah,
the road.
I'm sorry, yeah.
They're 1-2,
right,
so they have three more left.
And you better win all three of those games. And you better win all three of those games.
Okay, so you feel like we need to win all three.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I think it'll be tough to win that tiebreaker in the division against Dallas and Philly if you're only 3-3 in the division. I think you got to get to 4-2. And I think at this point, I mean, it's hard to say to you, but I think the best way to get into the postseason is probably still by winning the NFC East. It's going to be tough to get in there with a wild card with so many other teams in position. But then again, 10-6 might not win you the NFC East. So win as many games as you can. Try to get that divisional tiebreaker, which is still the first tiebreaker, by the way, even in the contest for the wild card spot. So still very important to win those NFC East games.
Right, and I agree, and I agree with that, which is why I said we need to go 7-2. So, you know, how are we going to find seven wins? And yes, and actually, you reaffirmed, we got to take the division. And so, you know, I'm gonna hang up and take the question, the answer. And my question is, you know, how are we going to find seven wins, especially when we got to win the last three in the division? Guys, take care, and peace.
Thanks, Drew. Well, you know, that's a pretty easy question, so I'll let Lance answer that one.
How they get seven wins. Yeah. Well, we were going over the schedule earlier in the program, and in order to get seven wins,
I think you got
to
split the next four, yeah, then run the table in December.
You can't lose three of the next four. It would be virtually impossible to get seven wins. Because
no, it's not virtually impossible. It is impossible.
Basically, yes, that's a better way to verbally say that.
Are those Lincoln High School math skills
exactly
coming out into the forefront?
They lose their thought of process here during the bye week because of what you were throwing out earlier. So I'm getting in the loony bin, too, as we continue. But, yes, to answer your question, Drew, we're not talking to John right now. We're talking to Drew.
I understand.
It's very difficult to come up with an equation that equates to seven at this point when you take into consideration if you struggle in these next few games. I mean, you're not going to do that. Plus, you can't bank on winning your last five games. You can't. Right now on paper, John, it looks good. But don't tell me that the Titans are going to just all of a sudden lay down and hand you a victory.
No,
the Jaguars.
They're not.
I mean, those teams are going to be hard to beat regardless.
Two rookie quarterbacks right now starting for those two teams. The Redskins obviously are a mess. Who knows who's going to be starting a quarterback for them when you get to that game in week number 15. You know, the Rams have actually been pretty dangerous this year, despite the fact they lost Sam Bradford. And it's a shame. If they had a quarterback, I think they'd be right in the mix for the playoff for a playoff
spot,
too.
Austin Davis, in fairness, has played good football.
He's been okay.
I mean, he hasn't been terrible.
Their pass rush.
Their defense hasn't been any good.
I was going to say, their pass rush has quieted down this year. What happened to that pass rush?
Major disappointment. I mean, part of it is they lost Chris Long, let's not forget. I mean, that was a significant loss.
But their big money guy, Quinn, in the offseason, they gave, 19.5 sacks last year. They gave him all that money. He's giving him nothing.
The group as a whole. But
Aaron Donald's been quiet,
correct,
too, by the way.
And the secondary. Janoris Jenkins is having a very rough season. The whole defense, to me, has been a huge disappointment.
Which is supposed to be their strength.
Yeah, I thought the Rams were going to be a wild card team this year. I thought they had a big-time potential for that. Yeah.
And by the way, I should point out, in terms of Beeson's contract, and Patty Treanor made this point, next year he has a $7.3 million cap number. So that could be something the Giants look at in terms of whether or not they want to keep him around. But if they do lose him, cut him. Based on my rudimentary mathematical skills right now, depending on when he gets that roster bonus, he has a $2.2 million roster bonus next year. I guess if they cut him before that roster bonus wouldn't apply, I would imagine, because he's not on the roster.
That would sound right.
So I would say that's probably around $3 million of dead money he would have next year, because you would move up his signing bonus. He'd still do about $3 million worth of signing bonus. So that's the guarantee money that would be dead money in the cap for next year.
Now, Ralph Vacchiano tweeted out, and this is according to SpotTrack, Beeson's cap number, as you mentioned, $7.3 million next year, right?
Right.
He says cutting him before that roster bonus, which you just alluded to, would save them about $3.5 million.
Yeah, so
if you want to look at it from that
standpoint. That's about where I have it at. They have dead money here next year at 3.8, but I'm not sure if that dead money includes his roster bonus or not, which is why
I'm
kind of on
the difference
there. It'll be anywhere between $3 and $4 million, give or take. The number is not that important.
He signed a three-year contract, just to give you the parameters. This is year one, so next year he'd be entering year two. And it really comes down to, you know, who do they want to pursue in free agency? Do they think that he's going to stay fully healthy? Like, you have to keep in mind, he's been limited to 24 games over the last few seasons, which is not a lot of games in total.
And how many last big four seasons mark. It is, right? Is that what you got there? Last four years seasons, he's played 24 games. It's
you
not
do the
a
math.
Lot.
I mean, that's six games per season. You want more from a guy that you're paying that type of money and who could have such an impact on
and
your
team. And the Giants did draft Devon Kennard to eventually, I guess, take over that middle linebacker spot. He's shown the ability to do it, at least in terms of stopping the run. And Jameel McClain will be here for another year, too. So two things to keep an eye on moving forward.
And they've been trying to develop Jaquan Williams into a every down linebacker, which has been an important situation right now to play out, because if you have versatility from him, you can move him in different spots.
Lance and I will be back with you tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff Live at 1 p.m. on Giants.com. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the schedule will be forthcoming. We'll figure it out. Since it's the Monday night game, things get moved around a little bit. We'll figure out who'll be here. We'll figure out exactly what we're doing on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. For Lance Mendel, I'm John Schmelk. Stay tuned to Giants.com at 2:30. We should have Jerry Reese. Are we streaming him live, Greg? Do you know Jerry Reese? Thumbs up. We are streaming him live. So go to Giants.com. Jerry Reese press conference live at 2:30. We'll have it here on Giants.com. You can check that out. I'm sure you'll get a lot of questions on John Beeson and the overall state of the franchise at the midway point of the 2014 season. Tomorrow, Lance and I will be with you. We'll be joined by somebody to preview the Colts. We haven't found anybody yet, but somebody will come.
We will.
With us.
He'll be doing some homework and work, actually, later
today.
Good
times.
Which is certainly exciting.
Exactly. I have to make Lance earn his $1.50 stipend, so I got to make him do a little work here.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the rest of the day on Giants.com. Everybody, we'll see you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
He's got through.